Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome back to the French Rugby Podcast with me, Tim Groves, ex-Scotland international Johnny Beattie and former France hooker Benjamin Kayser. We've got an All Black joining us on the show a bit later on, and we'll have a bit of a chat about all the goings on in French rugby at the moment as well. But you were on holiday with the in-laws when we spoke last week, weren't you, Benji? So are you back and well rested, or how was it?
Mate, so we did not go. Thank you for asking, but we did not go. We did not go to the French Riviera. That's what I'm going to tell you. The famous Côte d'Azur,
the English Riviera. The English Riviera.
Yeah. It got a little bit oversold by the in-laws, but no. Listen, going away is going away, and I think I'm becoming. I hate to say this. I'm becoming a little bit British. I mean, it's 10 degrees. The sun is out, and I think I'm in the tropics. Right? I'm in the Caribbeans. I'm swimming in the sea, freezing my nuts off, trying to build sandcastles. But listen, the coast was beautiful. Just being outside was beautiful. It was really cute just to see people. You know, like I think I mentioned this to you guys last week, that you're walking about terraces that just open and guys are freezing outside drinking a pint, shivering. But it's still happy. Like everybody, they almost want to cheer at you. Everybody's like, oh, hey, you know, like we're out. So no, listen, just going out. The simple things of life, of a bit of sea, a bit of fun. The girls playing around trying to catch crabs, which obviously we didn't. And pretend that we're fishermen and catching shrimp, but I mean that's the reality of it. But it was great fun.
And you've actually been swimming in the sea, Benji, the English sea.
Of course. I tried to swim. Tried to swim towards France, you know, to pretend like I was doing something, but I didn't get very far, mate. And to be honest, I was fucking freezing. Got back out and I see three little ladies who probably were 75 with a beanie. I thought they were going to put a wetsuit on and whatever. Nothing. Gloves, beanies are like, hello, chilly out there. It's like, yeah, pretty chilly. And they swam for about 45 minutes, went like 2 miles offshore or something. And I barely like put my tippy toes in there just to impress my six-year-old. But it was enough.
Johnny, any swimming in the sea in Hossegor or...?
Too cold. It was too cold, mate. I think I'm becoming French then. If you're becoming British, Benji. No, Saturday I was up in Paris, which was good fun with Canal Plus. Did the derby that we're talking about last week. Did Cast against Toulouse, which is actually a great game. Some young kids that were superb, like really good to watch. Sunday ended up at Senos Beach. And it wasn't, I mean, it's not warm enough for me to strip off. So I must be becoming French. But look, sun was out. We had a burger. We had a beer at the beach. This is lockdown. I'm like, what? This isn't lockdown. Like you can go to the beach as long as it's 10K away from your house and have a burger and a beer. So no, I'm delighted. We've got one more week of this lockdown of having the kids back at home and then kids are all back to school. So just enjoying having them home for another week and then getting my freedom back.
Well, we'll get our guest on shortly, but I've got a little bit of a surprise for you both before then, because we had Zach Holmes on last week, didn't we? He was telling us about his upcoming French citizenship test. You know what's coming. We'll find out how Zach got on in the coming weeks.
Hey, how much are we linked inside the head, Tim? Because I was saying I'm becoming British and Johnny's saying he's becoming French, right? So we're actually feeding into your thing already.
Absolutely. We're about to find out who's the most French, I think. So we'll find out from Zach how we get on in the coming weeks and whether your advice, Benji, about how he should slip the examiner a case of red, whether that went down well or not.
So Zach Holmes is currently in custody, right? You know that. he's not going to be playing this weekend because he got shit advice from a Frenchman who's becoming British and a Scottish French who's becoming Basque. So imagine the worst.
A Scottish French that's about to lose his French nationality because I'm assuming about to fail a French test that's about to be slid under. Is that what's happening?
The pressure's on, Johnny.
They can't take it off me. I've got it now. It's too late.
Well, we're not sure where Zach is, but he'll be in touch and let us know how he got on. But he's passed over some of the questions. So you two up for it?
Go on.
No.
Right. So apparently, and you'll be able to tell us this, Johnny, because you've done this before. So am I right in thinking the test normally comes in three parts? So the first part is a language test where you have to be able to listen and understand in French and then speak some French. So we're not going to do that because you two will both nail that. So that's easy. Done. And then the third part is an interview with someone from the French government. And I don't have any on speed dial. So we're not going to do that either. But the second part is some questions on French culture and history. I think there's about 60 in the actual test. So we're not going to do that many, but we'll just do a few and see how you get on. So question number one, which is the longest river in France? I'll give you options.
No options. No options. Come on.
Isn't this what happens in the test? You get options in the test, Johnny, or not?
I don't know. No. I've got a French passport, mate. And they're never going to take it away from me.
But they didn't ask you, like, what's the longest? They were just like, can you give us the name of a river? And you're like, I can do that.
Johnny, I think the test got harder since you did it. These are official questions. So I'll give you options. The Seine, the Garonne, the Rhône, the Loire.
Next one, but come on.
You both got your answers for that one.
Yep.
Right, do you want to read them out after three? There's no cheating because you've written them down.
La Loire.
Loire.
Very good. Both right. Neck and neck. Right, question number two. What do the colours of the French flag symbolise?
So,
hang on. Do you want me to give it a crack and then you can copy?
So I thought that one of them was blood.
Do you want to call a mate? I'm here, bud.
Is one of them blood? Ben, does that sound right?
I have no idea. All I think it's basically liberté, égalité, fraternité. You know, it's the three words that symbolize the French Republic. But I've never heard that it was that's what the colors represented. I'm just thinking if there's three things that are associated with the flag, it's the three words liberté, égalité, fraternité.
I was going to say nobility and blood.
We started so well with question number one. What's happened? You've hit one there, I think.
Blood or nobility?
Apparently, they stand for the blue is for nobility.
Nice.
Okay. Is bourgeois?
Yes. The red is for bourgeois.
Wait. You can tell I've studied this and it's coming back. But the white, I've got no idea.
Apparently, it's the clergy.
Mate, that's a shit question. Next one.
Question number three. When was the Third Republic formed? I'll give you the options. 1830, 1848. 1875 or 1885?
All I know is that at the moment, France is in the Fifth Republic, if that can help. Johnny, I know at the moment it's the fifth one, but what the hell is the third one? I don't know.
I'm going to go...
Is one of them 1885?
One of them is, yeah.
Yeah, I'll put 1885. If you're telling me that Scott Spitting, if you're telling me that Anthony Classe knew the answers of when the Third Republic in France was created... I will eat a rat.
So the thing is, it's ridiculous, but you're given a booklet. So you get given this intensive booklet to study for 2 weeks, and then you can bring out all these answers. But if they stick in there, I'm going to say one of the last two. I'm just to be different, I'm going to go 1875.
Johnny is correct.
Well done, mate.
Oh, mate.
Right. Question number four.
How many questions are there?
10. We'll do 10. Should we do 10?
Right. Okay.
We'll speed up. How many French regions are there?
Regions.
Regions. Are there 18, 12, 13, or 5?
This is really a shit question. Do you know why? Because it's just changed. It just changed about 18 months ago or something.
This might be the old version then. Who knows?
I think 18.
Yeah, same. I think they were 24. There's down to 18 now or something or whatever.
Spot on. Both correct. What is the name of the current French Minister of the Interior? Edouard Philippe, Christophe Castaner, Gérald Darmanin, or François Bayrou?
I'm laughing because Béroud is a very funny character. He was never been a minister. Well, I think maybe he was minister of agriculture, but like years and years ago. Absolutely loves his rugby, by the way. Completely linked to our guest because he's born and bred in Pau. And he still like represents Béarn everywhere that he goes. But he's that funny guy that he is really
Is funny. He the guy with the big nose?
Yeah, the massive ears.
Yeah, he's a legend. Even I know about him. This is weird.
Mate, he's absolutely lovely.
And all the rugby boys love him as well.
So yeah. We've ruled him out. Who are the other three?
Gérard Darmanin.
Johnny?
I don't know. When I did it, I think it was Edouard Philippe, but it's probably changed since then.
No. Edouard Philippe was the one with, you remember, he was half his beard was grey over there, remember? He got sacked. He got bumped off.
Benji gets the points.
Edouard Philippe was the prime minister 6 months ago, about 8 months ago. And his number two was Christophe Castaner. He was like his ministre intérieur or something. And now the new ministre intérieur is Darmanin.
Okay.
I have to make up for it, considering that I absolutely cocked up the ones before. So now I'm trying to throw my science there.
Number six. France has 43 UNESCO World Heritage Sites. Which is the most visited such site in Normandy? Is it Mont-Saint-Michel, Le Havre, the Allied landing beaches, or the Abbey Church of Saint-Savin-sur-Gartempe?
It's a good question, actually.
I don't know what the most visited is. I'm going to go for the one that I visited, which is the landing beaches in Normandy.
I think it's the Mont-Saint-Michel.
Andy's right.
It's a good instinctive answer, Johnny, because I reckon those beaches, for one, are absolutely stunning. They're full of history. They've got crazy good museums on there. It's really worth a visit if whoever wants to, like, you know, walk into the steps of such a historical moment. But I'm not sure they're classified. I don't know.
Number seven. For what event did Gustave Eiffel construct the Eiffel Tower?
L'Exposition Universelle.
You might have to get a year for this, Benji.
No clue, mate. The year, no clue.
The 1889 World's Fair, the 1867 World's Fair, the end of the Franco-Prussian War in 1871, or the conception of the French Republic in 1870?
I'm going to go 89.
I'm going to go 67.
Johnny gets it. Benji, you helped him, I think, there, but Johnny gets it.
Nah, so it's all right. And it was a radio station originally. It was to test radio. It was one of the first. That's why they basically created something metallic that was so high that they can do some tests on radio and weather forecasting.
Who was Jean Moulin? Was he a high-ranking French civil servant and resistance fighter who died in 1943? A French politician guillotined in 1794, a military general who died in 1970, or President of the Republic, 1981-95.
Yeah, I think it's number one. He was one of the leaders of the rebellion. When France got occupied in the Second World War, France was split in two. North was dominated by Germany. The south was the gouvernement de Vichy, which is next to Clermont. But they called ils ont pris le maquis, and all those guys were basically hide, like the civil army, the milice. They were going hide into the mountains and stuff and trying to create resistance, and he was one of them.
Yeah, part of the French resistance. I remember studying this.
I was going to say, just for the benefit of the listeners, Johnny was agreeing before Benji gave that very complete answer. Point to both of you for that one. When was the death penalty banned in France?
Ooh.
1981, 1991, 1971, or 2001?
That is crazy recent. That is freakish. I'll go 1981.
Same. I think it's 1981.
Both correct. Well done.
That is crazy recent. Whoa.
Right, last question. How many people speak the French language in the world and in how many countries?
Oh, wow.
200 million and 70 countries, 150 million and 65 countries, 250 million and 75 countries, or 150 million and 75 countries.
Oh, mate, how hard is that one?
That's a lottery.
Out of complete guess, I'll go 250, 75.
I am going to go 200 million and 70.
I can tell you, you were neck and neck before that last question. And one of you has got it right.
You know that if you say Johnny, you guys are going to do the rest of the episode on your own. Huh? You know that, right?
Johnny takes it.
Oh my word. Do you know what? I haven't been nervous doing one episode of this podcast so far, but I was absolutely kicking my breeks at the start. That was intense.
Mate, I texted Stefan Armitage. He was going to come dressed as a cop. He was going to knock on your door tomorrow morning, mate, to get you back up your shit. You can get out of this country. If you fail this test, you're gone.
Oh,
I think, Benji, your French citizenship isn't in doubt, so you're fine. But Johnny, I think you need 70% to pass, and that last question got you to 70, so you're fine.
Cheers, boys. Oh,
well done, buddy.
Well, let's get our guest on now then and find out if he's on his way to taking the French citizenship test in a few years' time. Pose All Black number 8, Luke Whitelock joins us. How are you?
Good, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Thanks for coming on. And we'll get onto the rugby in a minute, but we've just been doing a mock French citizenship test with Johnny and Benji. So can you see yourself staying long enough to be doing that in a few years' time?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, anything's possible. But yeah, just still trying to grasp the language at this stage. So it's been proving pretty, very difficult.
How have you settled in generally, mate? Because obviously you've come to France. I'm a good mate of your brother, Adam. I played with him at Bayonne. It's been a crazy couple of years with COVID. Obviously, probably not what you thought you were signing up for, but how have you managed to set in? Are you enjoying life in Poe? How's it going with the family?
Yeah, overall, we are enjoying it. Poe's a great place in the southwest. But as you did allude to, it's been a crazy time with what's going on around the world. To uproot from New Zealand and come the other side of the world. And I think we're here 3 months and yeah, we're in straight into that lockdown. So it's been a little bit different to the normal experience, but we're happy where we are and enjoying the French life. But obviously, we're still also hoping that things will come back to some sort of normality and get people back in the stands and enjoy some of those other things that we probably took for granted when we first came.
When you see the videos from back home where you guys were all living completely normal almost, it must be a heartbreaker, right? Because you know that potentially 2 flights away you can go home and you don't know. And I know a lot of guys who went and basically couldn't come back. And that's my question. Did you ever think of going back? Because long story short, in October I came down to Poole to commentate Paul Worcester in Challenge Cup, and it was the week where the coaches got sacked. And I was speaking to poor Paul Tito, who was telling me that horrendous story, poor thing. Basically doing the comparison of Conrad Smith, who went back to NZ, to go and enjoy his family. And Paul, he sent his family before him. And the week that he's about to embark on the plane and he's done all the lineouts and all that, and he's about to go, the president sacks the coaches. He becomes head coach. And so he's not allowed to go anymore because he's no longer a lineout coach, that can leave for 3 weeks. He becomes head coach. So he was obviously chuffed to be head coach, don't get me wrong, but still it's a proper heartbreak.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of probably many stories of different things. You really feel for guys with that example. Paul's got his family at home back in New Zealand, living a more or less normal life with restaurants, everything open, and that'd be pretty breaking for him, obviously, probably being really excited to leave. And then, yeah, there's been a few changes around and his role looked pretty different the following week. So, yeah, I mean, that's just an example of COVID-19. And yeah, it's been a bit of a bugger in a lot of ways.
And apart from COVID, what are the main cultural differences between New Zealand and France, both rugby and not rugby? Because we often talk about the differences in coaching, the differences in lifestyle, but from a first-hand experience, how have you found it and what are the main differences?
With the footy, I mean, it's different. It's taken me a little bit of time to sort of get used to the footy, and it is a little bit different to Super Rugby. Obviously, the length of the season's probably one of the first things people talk about. And I think at home, generally, the players probably have quite a lot of structure around them, and the players probably have quite a lot of input in terms of what goes on during the week and around strat and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's different here. It's probably a bit more play what you see. The guys have got a huge amount of passion and emotion invested into what they do and the region. And that just, it's quite cool. And you see how invested they get into it. In terms of culturally, beautiful and around here down the southwest, the Pyrenees, quite out of your comfort zone when you come and you don't really speak any French. And there's some guys that don't speak any English and you're sort of chucked in the deep end. And yeah, but it's what life is, and putting in the out of your comfort zone and just sort of enjoying those little things.
Like, obviously you've captained All Blacks, huge challenges. Are you finding this almost an even bigger challenge? The language barrier, different coaches, the sort of volatility that we all expect from French rugby, 1 minute to the next, you don't know where you are. Has that been a bigger challenge almost than captaining the big teams that you've been part of before, being part of this Poe side that, like, it's been a tough season? has this year been a real challenge mentally with COVID and also the rugby in the club? Has it been a battle?
Yeah, yeah, you're right. There's different challenges. It's quite funny, even the end of last season before the confinement happened, we were, I think we won our last game against Montpellier at home, and we'd had a few losses strung in a row, and Bender and I were celebrating like no tomorrow. Sorry, Ben Smith and I, and he said, oh, this is better than winning the World Cup, because we sort of had a bit of a laugh at how important it is to win at home. And it was quite a funny sort of relief, I guess, in some of that pressure, as you alluded to.
That's crazy. I don't think people understand the pressure that comes in top 14 rugby. And like, we compare it to what's going on in English football. They're looking for something to be ring-fenced and to have no relegation and no promotion. But ultimately, it's that shit fight that people love. That's why top 14 rugby is so entertaining, because you've got all these teams in the south of France battling with each other, and that emotion that it gives, both the players in the changing room. Like, I've been through it with Bayonne and we got relegated and it was heartbreaking. But then if you manage to scrape up and you stay up and you do it for your town, it's unbelievable. So I can only imagine what that night out was like when you achieved it. Tell us a bit more about the pressure. Like, obviously, this season hasn't gone great. You're in the relegation battle. Is there a certain element, especially for Fish, like Paul Tito, his first job as head coach in top 14? It must be tough, like grafting each week and trying to pull yourselves through against loads of other teams in the same situation. There must be a lot of pressure. Is it quite tough to deal with?
Yeah, you're right. There is a lot of pressure. You alluded to the relegation, something we don't probably have experience with playing back home. And as you said, the Southwest is full of rugby teams, the culture, and the towns and surrounding locals are all invested in their teams. And, you know, like even now, before we get on the bus and stuff, there's fans there just wanting to, I guess, be a part of it. And it's hard on them. And you do feel the passion that they have for the team, which is really, really cool. And as you said, you don't want to be in these bottom parts. And yeah, we've got five massive games to finish the season. So each one's really important.
And how is Big Fish getting on? I played against him. He used to be at Cardiff. I played back in the Pro 14 with Glasgow, played against him for years. Great guy. Enjoyed a beer after the game every week as well. How is he getting on in his first role in top 14? Is he enjoying it being head coach at Poe?
Yeah, I was obviously missing his family, but he's enjoying the challenge of top 14. And I think his area around the set piece and the line out, he's really enjoying that and had a really good influence on how we've been operating in general. The lineout's been really good in terms of performing in the top 14. And his best thing is his relationships with all the guys, the French guys, the foreigners. And as you sort of said, he's sort of come from that era of enjoying what you do, love what you do, celebrate the small stuff, but put your head down and work bloody hard. And he's done really well in a lot of those areas.
Yeah, I was just going to say he's done really well with also my mate Tomas Domingo, who's, to be honest, if there's one dude that I would have never seen to become coach as him. and he was my roomie in the French team. He was my roomie with Clermont. I absolutely adore this dude. He's a brother for me. That's everything he believes in, is what you said. Celebrating the little things and the passion, the heart, the passion. You know, just give everything for everything you've got around it. So just a word on Doming, who's like, he always said you can tell him, he always said that his grandfather was a ninja. That's why he's got all those tats on him and this. But he's the shortest and the fattest ninja you've ever seen. But he's an absolutely lovely bloke. I wish him all the best. And I think you've got, I don't know how his technical ability, I don't know, but I know that you've definitely have got a guy who's got a heart big like a truck there, who's ready to help you.
Yeah, he's obviously a French legend, and he's obviously held up the front row and French scrums for a long time. And I think the poor bugger can't really run anymore. So he's
Oh my word! Have you seen him do CrossFit? Yeah, he's gonna kill me. He's gonna kill me. He's the only CrossFit guy who doesn't bend his knees. So he's strong. Can be from upper body strength is freakish. Like, he was a tiny dude who would bench 180, 190 on a good day. Like, he was really extraordinarily strong, but he can't squat for his life. His knees are basically crumbling from inside. He doesn't have any cartilage in either of them. And I think, poor thing, he's going to have like straight legs for the rest of his life.
But he's doing well. His English has really come on, I think, with coaching with Paul Tito, because Paul's French isn't that great, and obviously Thomas' English isn't that good, but they've sort of somehow met in the middle. And I think there's a few times they look at each other and but they seem to get on really, really well and complement each other.
Just to finish on a high note, Le Stade du Hameau of the Section Paloise, when they sing, what is it, La Onada, before the games and on big wins and stuff, it's electric, right? It's special. So that passion is obviously can not serve you against Bayonne. I mean, to be honest, it was a pretty shit game for 70 minutes and you guys finished strong at the end. So that pressure can sort of get people to come into their shells a little bit. But when it's out, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right. Like, fortunate enough to have a few games when the Hummos is full. And as you said, the singing is something quite different to what we experience at home. And it really does sort of give you a lift and make you, you know, want to really go out there and put your best foot forward. And obviously after a good win against Bayonne at home last week, you know, just when that whistle went, you could sort of see the, I guess, flow of emotion from the guys. You know, just it's been hard and working really hard, and to get a great result was just what we needed.
It was a crazy game as well. There were 39 penalties. There were 5 cards, one of them red. Like, there can't be many games like that you can compare to in Super Rugby. Like, looking back at the game, what did you make? I know you'd be delighted with the win, but what do you take from it as a team? Are you just delighted to get through it, or what can you take?
Yeah, I guess there's a bit of adversity, and as you said, with penalties, I'm probably guilty there. I spent 10 minutes on the sideline, so not ideal for the team. But yeah, I mean, it's what was promising is, you know, we sort of had to come back from, I think we'd playing with 13 men there for a bit, and the way the guys pulled together, especially on defence, and then the bench were really good, and it wasn't probably until that last 10 minutes, as you said, that we just pulled away, because it was sort of tit for tat for a lot of that game.
And you mentioned it, Luke, 5 games left, last game of the season, Montpellier at home. Can you see it coming down to that? And if it does, do you know what's in store? Have people prepared you for the potential of a, I don't want to be doom and gloom, but an end of season playoff with the runner-up in Pro de Deux? Because that, again, that's something you won't have experienced anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, we're very aware of where we are on the table and what's left in the season. I guess having the overviews, we're aware of that, but we've sort of realised that we can't focus, you know, it is the cliches, we can't focus too far in front. It's all about what we can do today in order to prepare ourselves and best for the next match, Stade Français away, and just pushing all that energy into that. Things can change quickly in 5 games, and hopefully we can take a bit of momentum from the weekend.
One boy that's going to help you, that I think he's in Po now, but his family's there. Is he still in confinement? So you've got Elton Yanchis assigned from the South African franchise, the Lions. When does he get to hit the ground and start training with you, and when can he play? Like, obviously he's there as that recruitment effort for the last 4 or 5 games potentially, but when can he join you in training and when can he start playing?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a great to have Elton join the team. He, as far as I understand, he's arrived, but he's from coming from South Africa, he's got to spend a bit of time in the hotel and isolate. And obviously, he's got other things like medicals and things to pass. Or as you'd know, there's a fair bit of that to go through before you even sort of get on the training field. So hopefully, you know, I'm sure he's got a lot to bring and add to the group. So hopefully, sooner than later, as you said, there's only a few games.
Yeah, I think it's May the 8th, Johnny. So four games. So I don't know how many Euros he's getting for 4 games, but
a lot of zeros. That's it. He's got 4 games. He's got Agen. So he'll miss Stade Français this weekend, but then he can play against Agen away, Racing at home, La Rochelle away, and then the big one, Montpellier at home. So there's 4 games to crack it, really, and make sure you stay up.
Yeah, it is going to be intense.
And so, mate, going back, obviously, I mentioned earlier, I played with Adam. Was it when you came over and visited? I remember chatting to Sam as well at our training fields in Bayonne. Was it when you came over and visited Adam that you decided, and you had a look around and you saw Po and you saw Bayonne? Was it then that you decided that you want to come and try France, or has it always been something you wanted to do? Or was it more the fact Adam was here and you had a glimpse and you're like, this is for me? Like, what was it that made you have that itch and want to come over?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it was pretty cool back then to come over and visit Adam and a lovely part of the world. I guess we were just sort of obviously trying to draw on the experience he's had. And yeah, I mean, we always sort of know that rugby is a short career, and always thought, you know, there could be an opportunity to come over one day. I guess it was a little bit, wanted to do some other things before making that decision to come. But yeah, the timing and we thought the fit was right to come to Poe. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't until a few years after that, I guess, when we visited. But I know Adam really enjoyed the culture and you know, you talk about the passion, the fans, and just a little bit of a different, you know, quite refreshing coming from home. I think played 9 seasons of Super Rugby, and just thought a little change up would be good. So yeah, it's definitely been a change up, obviously all around the world. So just making the most of sort of every opportunity we get.
Johnny, have you got any stories on Adam? Because I mean, you were telling us he had an interesting nickname, didn't you?
Yes, you know, you're talking about the culture, but he was the one bloke that absolutely threw himself. Like, if there was a wine tasting, there was Jambon de Bayonne to be tasted, or he was just there. If he was playing petanque with old fellas, like him and his missus Tiff, they threw themselves into everything. But his nickname was Zeus, and he was really shy about coming forward and telling us how. So can you give us a little bit of why and how did he get the nickname Zeus?
Yeah, as you said, Adam's he's not afraid to go around and immerse himself with everyone in the team. And as you said, if there's an opportunity to go see something or go experience something, he's sort of first to do it. And I could just imagine him. He wouldn't have been able to speak too much French, but he'd be in there trying and battling away. And everyone gets a little bit better after a couple of beers. And but in terms of his nickname, I guess he always tried to think of himself as the Greek god. And he's just the sort of guy, I guess, the ultimate sort of teammate. He's as you see him every day. He works bloody hard, and he's always there for a yarn. And he sort of then just picked it up, and the boys used to sort of call him Zeus, you know, the sort of the ultimate sort of man as such. And I don't know if the boys chanted it too much for him, but he'd get out there.
We did.
Did he give that nickname to himself, Luke? Or
yeah,
did
he probably did, to be fair.
And we mentioned Adam, and Johnny mentioned that Sam went over to visit as well. You went over to visit. Have you put a word in with Sam? Does he fancy going over to France at some point?
Yeah, I'd hope so. But I mean, I think he's currently signed to the next World Cup. But we're for sure. We're sort of, you know, you probably want to come experience this. And there's sometimes some more things to rugby, and you know, you only get a small window to potentially experience some of this. So yeah, I mean, we'll be in his ear, but he seems to be in the spot at the moment in terms of what's going on around the world, and got a young family, and I think hopefully he'll be around to play the World Cup, and it wouldn't be a better place to play than in France. You imagine that first game in Paris against the French. Gives me sort of goosebumps thinking about it right now.
Has he got your ticket sorted?
Yeah, there'll be probably a few, I'd say, trying to get a hold of some tickets for that, yeah.
Family first, though. You'll be top of the list, don't worry.
Blood's thicker than water, we say. So, yeah.
And more importantly, I think you've got another year on your contract at Poe after this one. So hopefully we'll have fans back and you'll have a better year the next year than we've had the last year. But you fancy staying after that, or is it kind of wait and see and maybe head back home?
No, ideally we would like to stay. Obviously we've got a bit of time between now and then. I sort of feel like you sort of spend your first year here, you know, you're battling away for the language, and it's not till you start to understand it. And then obviously your speaking comes a little bit after that, but then you really start to get those little things of what it is to be a professional footy player, and the jokes and and just understanding the culture. And I think like the best part of the experience is yet to come.
Definitely. Well, thanks ever so much for joining us, Luke, and massive good luck for the next 5 games, big ones.
Yeah, cheers. Thank you. I've been a naughty boy 3 times this year, so I think I've got a week off, which is quite ideal. But
you can go and play petanque with the old men of Poe for a week. Like your brother.
Yeah. No, they're pretty good, the old Frenchies at that.
Or you can go have a do a CrossFit session with Domi. Because you'll fly through it, mate. There'll be no issue.
Or you can get on the beers with fish. Get on the beers with Paul Tito. It's much better.
Cheers, Luke.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, good luck, thanks. Mate. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Another Southern Hemisphere star who sounds like he's settling well in France.
I mean, I think he was really nice. It's a proper heartbreak, all those stories. I mean, listen, there's heartbreaks everywhere in the world. I'm not trying to say there's only the Kiwis and this and that, but when you travel the world and you go so far away from your family and stuff, and then you get videos nonstop of life just being completely normal over there. Worst, like Paul Tito, you send your family so that, you know, they're okay. And then every night you're there, and then you're just battling for the moment where you can finally go and see them, and you get your big outbreak as a head coach. And I'm sure, I mean, in his mind, it must have been a proper heartbreak. So feel for those guys, but feel for everyone. The world is completely upside down at the moment. We're just, hopefully, we're at the end of the beginning of the final tunnel. And we just have to keep on dragging ourselves through that one. And hopefully we'll get on the other side.
Hello, I'm Geraint Thomas.
And I'm Tom Fordyce.
And this is your official invite to come and join our brand new cycling club.
Now, good news, it's a podcast too, so you can come and listen to us, try and build this club from scratch, and we'll have a few familiar faces joining us for the ride too. Right, G, time to tell everyone what we've called this club.
Well, we thought long and hard about this, so we came up with a strong, original name that really stands out. The Geraint Thomas Cycling Club.
Yeah, I suppose it's easy to remember at least, isn't it? We will have new episodes for you every single Tuesday.
Come and join us.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
We chatted to Luke about Poe's win over Bayonne, and a lot of the other derby games that we spoke about last week were postponed because of COVID. But you were commentating on Cast's win over Toulouse, weren't you, Johnny?
Yeah, and it was a cracker. A young boy, I'm not sure you'll have heard of him, Tim. Ben, you might have heard of him. He was at Wasp, so Tim, you might have heard of him.
Yeah, Thibaut Flamand.
Unbelievable. Like, he's a proper player. He's going to be in the French team within 2 years. He was freakishly good.
He used to play fly 10. Half for Loughborough University.
He played 10. And mate, he was insane. So like, line out time, won everything. Every time's a loose ball, it's him catching it, offloading, like chucking the ball at the back of his hand, like freakish. Really good to watch. Controlled the line out, scored a try, can ball carry. Toulouse also, they scored one of the best tries. Yes. I've seen the top 14 from their own try line. Started by an old teammate of mine, Max Marty, who was on loan at Bayonne. Hitch kick, does the Fijian winger at Cast, all the way up, like 100 meter try. Flicks the ball inside to, was it Matisse Labelle again? Scored another one from 100 meters. Like, I think he's the record try scorer, top 14 this season. But look, French kids, the front row they had, I think it was Netti, Movaca, Aldeguerri. But the rest of the team was kids. Yeah, Joe Tocori on the bench. Really good. So like, really talented bunch of academy kids coming through. Great game to commentate on. And it almost felt like a Toulouse win at the end because they came back and should have won the game. It was Cast to win. They were bullying them with scrum, with Maul bludgeoning them. But some of the Toulouse stuff they strung together, the offloads again. You think they move all those first choice players out, they play the exact same way. offloading, keeping the ball live. So really fun to watch. And at the end, they were delighted. They'd lost the game, but moral victory, huge for them moving forward. And for the young like French kids coming through, mate, they were really, really impressive. So no, it was a really fun game. Loved watching that one. And yeah, Thibaut Flamand, watch this space is all I'm saying. I reckon he's going to be the next big thing.
The only thing is that he needs to climb over a couple of big things to get into that starting lineup, because there's the Arnold brothers, there's Jote Corey, there's loads. But yeah, I've heard only good things, and apparently a great kid with a great past of, you know, a bit of a traveler, went to Loughborough, but went a bit everywhere. Really interesting backstory that is adoring his rugby at the moment. But when you know how good Toulouse can be when everybody's there, they're pretty scary for the end of the season. I think they're back at their absolute best, with the depth that we all know that Toulouse can bring. Because basically, for guys who don't know, Toulouse, their reputation has always been that. There's always been a new, is it like the All Blacks? 2015, Nonu, Conrad Smith, what's it called? Richie Mako, Mealamu, you know, all the 100 caps, the Centurions, they call them. Dan Carter, obviously, all those guys retired. They're like, how the hell are they going to do it? Well, you've got Boden Barrett, Aaron Smith. There's always a guy behind you. You're thinking, how the hell do they just generate not just good talent, but outstanding talent? And that's what Toulouse have done, generation after generation after generation. Then they had a bit of a dip for a couple of seasons. And obviously that coincided with the fact that as soon as the Du Sautoir, the Albacetes and all those guys, and I don't know, Josion, Fritz, basically either weren't there because they were too old or weren't there because they were international duty, then they just couldn't survive. So now as soon as you see those young guys, that means that they're always going to be constantly good. They're going to be challenged within, and that's when they get scarily, scarily good.
Well, Toulouse will be in European action the weekend after this one, but Bordeaux, their game with Montpellier in the top 14 this weekend, looks like it may well be off because of positive COVID tests in their camp. So should we be worried?
Do you think that makes it harder, Benji?
Lack of conditioning.
Yeah, so the fact that they get a rest week effectively, or they're not going to be as matched up, I can guarantee Christophe Urios is going to boot them up and down the pitch to get them ready no matter what. But do you think that makes it harder, knowing that they've got to play Toulouse away in 2 weeks' time in a knockout game without having prep this week, with having their game cancelled this week? Do you think it makes it tougher?
Listen, I never know how to answer those questions, because I always felt that there was nothing that could replace match fitness. I know the backs, for what they do on a rugby pitch, which is considered like they run really, really fast because they're really, really scared. And they just, you know, give themselves each other high fives and kick after the ball from time to time. And, you know, practice try celebrations and all that. But for forwards, I think the only thing you can do is to play. But number of times again have teams proven me wrong. I just think, like you said, it's a matter of good coaches putting a proper strategy in place. And if that means getting beasted during the week or extra squeezing every cent of mental focus that they can get from them, they will. And it's a semi-final Champions Cup. So I don't think that will be a question. I don't think it will be an excuse that will even be put forward, irrespective of the result.
And we knew he was going at the end of the season, but Gael Fiku's joined wrestling already, hasn't he? He's gone from Stade Français, and Hans-Peter Wild's been speaking out about it. He isn't happy, Benji, is he?
Well, I don't really understand that one, to be honest.
Nobody does.
Gael Fiku is, for one, a top dude, an extraordinary player. He's not, I don't know, I don't want to put any bad images on anyone, but he's not like the unreliable guy, you know, who leaves and doesn't commit and this and that. He came to Paris. He didn't break anybody's fingers to get them to sign that contract, right? And he's an extraordinary player who gives all his best. I mean, you all saw highlights of him playing against his old club Toulouse. I think it was last year, at the beginning of the season, where he did a 70-meter break on his own. He's been outstanding. And now I think basically he didn't say that he wanted to leave the Racing. It's Stade who are having a bit of, they want to make some, you know, get rid of that salary cap sort of issue. They wanted to lean up their playing squad. And so Gael Fiku, obviously being one of the highest earners, if not the highest earner, was then tempted with the agents doing their job of getting a deal there and saying, yeah, I want to go. So listen, I think it's very random that the president, who sort of initiated this thing from the start, because it's a problem that Stade Français had, not Gael Fiku, who wanted to leave. I found it very, very surprising, quite disappointing, and unusefully hurtful to Gael Fiku, who's a top dude.
I find it really bizarre. So the details of his contract came out, like the president came out and said, we signed him on a 5-year, 1 million euro a year deal. Like you gave him the contract. That like you gave him the contract. is then Thomas Lombard came out early in the week and said, we have to lower our mass salary al, so our salary cap, so our figures are right at the end of the year. So we're looking to offload. But then the president's come back and said, he's a scumbag for jumping ship.
You know what he did there, the president, Vile, when he put the numbers in the press. Horrible. He's basically making Galifiku look bad for saying, oh, listen, he's getting a million. What? He's getting a million, this guy.
And then all of a sudden,
no, but hang on. They can say that it's before tax, after tax, chargé, pas chargé, you know, basically how much it costs the company and not how much actually the players get. They can play around with numbers. I think it's just, that's another a bit of hit of the knife. It's
horrible.
For no reason to be like, why does he want to leave if he's getting paid that much? That's the reaction he wants to get out
of it. It's a lack of class as well. For any president to come out and name a rugby player's salary, what they take home or don't take home or after tax or net, it's a big lack of class for me from a president to come out and throw that around the national press. Like, that's really poor form. But like, my understanding was, and what's been happening in the press over here, is that they have to reduce their salary bill. So it's kind of been both parties. It's not Gael Fikri forcing his way out. So look, I feel really bad for Gael. Pretty much this has been the best season I've seen him have for 4 or 5 seasons. He's been outstanding for Stade Français and for France. He's not done anything wrong. He's had some injuries, but every time he's played, he's been superb. So look, I just think it's really poor by a president to come out and drop figures like that in national. Like, man, that sucks. You imagine come out and naming how much. It'd be embarrassing for me. It'd be so little. You'd be all right if you're Gael Fikri and you're getting paid a million a year, but like, really poor show. I think that's really poor by a president.
And the long and short of it is Stade Français are going to miss him for the last 5 games of the season and Racing will benefit.
So what kind of message does that send out, really, that now people get, like, it's football, isn't it? Like, you transfer strategy in the middle of the season. Okay, Stade Francais, we're a selling club. We've missed out. They're aiming for an All Black, apparently a 12-13 for next season. Let's get him off the book, save a bit of cash because we can't make the top six, but they're not that far away. Like, it's still possible. So what kind of message does it send out to the rest of the squad at Stade Francais now? Well, lads, we're just going to get rid of on our, like, we've got Yohan Maestri, Fiku, two of our biggest paid players. We should let one of them go. It doesn't matter. Just see the rest of the games out and focus on next year. Like, how does that affect the squad mentally, knowing that your best player, France's defensive, like, vice-captain defensive leader, has just been shown the door? Like, it's really bizarre.
I mean, look what's happening at football with that Super League, Super Cup, or whatever it's called. And you hear all the guys talking. They're like, no, how can we generate the most revenue for the clubs who lost hundreds of millions? That's all they're talking about. Yep. They're saying, what do people want to see on a daily basis? They want to see the top teams play the top guys regularly, nonstop, no pressure of going down. We can guarantee you that they will be there because there's no qualification. You know, they don't need to qualify to get there. So they're only talking about that. So clubs at the moment, unfortunately, but you can't really blame them at the same time. The world of sport has been hit, like, took a proper slap in the face and a kick in the nuts and a stab in the back at the same time, basically. And so they're chasing for cash everywhere and they're trying to find some everywhere. But so clearly, like you said, Johnny, it's a sad message to give to your team. But unfortunately, it's the reality of the stress that all the team owners and team managers that they are under. Because at the moment, the sporting decisions are basically, like, I don't know, bottom of the pile in the hierarchy of the decision making.
Business.
It's becoming money and business number one because it's a matter of survival.
As we're recording, though, Benji, Chelsea and Man City have decided that they are leaving the Super League because of fan backlash. So there you go. Fan backlash and sporting reasons have come to the fore, and the lack of class tastelessness of some owners has been told to F off.
Speaking about F offs, can I just share with you guys that after my little chat of the Brive Clermont derby that didn't happen because the game got postponed, I got absolutely battered on social media by people. Some very aggressive comments told me that I shat on Brive, I shat on their whole history, that lacked respect of the club. Hang on, I never spoke about the city. I never spoke about the club on itself. I was just talking about how out of proportion the animosity, the angerness, the physical rivalry of hatred was, I think, to my eyes, in my humble opinion, was affecting the derby between Clermont and Brive. I did say something stupid. I said there was 20,000 people in Brive. There's 50,000. And I apologize. That is true. That was a mistake of mine.
Failed your French test, mate. Absolutely. Another question.
Absolutely. But the rest is only my humble opinion. If you don't like it, not a problem. We can always debate about it. Just don't insult me. If they felt that it was in a disrespectful manner, I apologize. But it wasn't. It was simply a way of saying it's sport. So I respect the heart, the passion, the give yourself for your team 150%. When it's about hatred, insults, and just like, and I'm not saying everybody's like that. I'm saying there's one or two idiots that I think that come out of their shell because it's the derby and that I didn't like.
Thanks, Benji. Thanks, Johnny. A big thanks to Luke Whitelock for joining us as well. And a big thanks to all of you guys for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe, leave us a nice review, and we'll be back with another episode next week. Au revoir, guys.
Cheers. Cheers, fellas.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.